84 WHAS presents A Christmas Carol, starring Milton Metz, Wayne Perkey, Terry Miners, Van Vance, Jane Norris, Joe Donovan, Joe Elliott, and featuring Rush Limbaugh, with the Louisville Youth Choir, brought to you by Taylor Drug Stores, American Greeting Cards, Fujifilm Products, and 84 WHAS. Here now is the president of Taylor Drug Stores, Mr. Sam Bolton.
Hello, and welcome to a unique and exciting holiday event. It's the first ever 84 WHAS radio production of Charles Dickens' immortal holiday classic, A Christmas Carol. Taylor Drugs is excited to bring you this program, thanks to the assistance of American Greeting Cards and Fujifilm Products. Because of their contribution to underwrite this project, every penny collected from the sale of this limited edition collector's cassette will go to the WHAS Crusade for Children. So sit back, relax, and join us for A Christmas Carol, brought to you by Taylor Drug Stores. Here now is your narrator and host, Milton Metz.
It is the afternoon before Christmas Day in the year of our Lord, 1844. Despite the bitterly cold weather, all London is in a festive mood.
Stop it! Stop it, I say! Away from here with all that noise. We'll have no singing around here. Do you understand that? No singing, I say.
A Merry Christmas, sir.
No need to wish him a Merry Christmas. That's old Scrooge.
Yes, that's old Scrooge, all right. Ebenezer Scrooge. And there's no sign of happiness or festivity on his lined face. He closes the door and returns to his office. He looks around, glowers at his clerk, Bob Cratchit, snorts as he sees Cratchit bent over his desk, hard at work. As he adjusts his spectacles and turns, without warning, the door opens.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas? A humbug? Surely you don't mean that, Uncle.
Merry Christmas, indeed. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying your bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with a Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. You keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good it's done you.
Well, I've always thought of Christmas as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And I say, God bless it.
Amen. Let me hear another word from you, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. I came here to ask you to spend Christmas Day with Peg and me.
No, certainly not.
We want nothing from you, Uncle, other than your company on Christmas Day. Won't you change your mind and have dinner with us?
You know my sentiments on Christmas. Good day, Fred.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year to you.
Bah, humbug.
Pardon me, Mr. Scrooge.
What is it?
There's a gentleman here to see you.
About what, Cratchit?
Well, he didn't say, sir.
Ah, good afternoon, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my former partner's been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Then I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner.
What do you want?
At this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we try to make some slight provision for the poor and destitute. Many thousands are in want of common necessities.
Are there no prisons?
Oh, plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses? Are they still in operation?
I wish I could say they were not. How much shall I put you down for, Mr. Scrooge?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous, Mr. Scrooge?
I wish to be left alone. Let these deserving people of yours go to the establishments I've mentioned.
Most of them would rather die than do that, Mr. Scrooge.
Then let them do that and help decrease the surplus population. I'm busy. Good afternoon to you.
Very good, Mr. Scrooge. Goodbye and Merry Christmas to you.
And good riddance to you, charity. Bah, humbug.
Mr. Scrooge, sir.
Well, what is it, Cratchit?
I was wondering...
You were wondering if you could go home.
Yes, sir. It It is getting late.
Well, go on. You'll want the whole day off tomorrow, I suppose.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It is not convenient, and it is not fair.
It's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. I suppose you must have the whole day, but be here earlier the next day, understand?
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas.
Christmas. Humbug.
A few minutes later, Scrooge leaves his office and makes his way to his melancholy chambers, a gloomy suite of rooms. By the light of a single flickering candle, he eats a cold supper. And then, to save lighting his stove, Ebenezer Scrooge retires for the night. The minutes tick away. Scrooge sleeps uneasily, tossing from side to side, and then awakes with a start to a loud clanking sound. Walking toward him, dragging a heavy chain, is a gray, dim figure which stops at the foot of the bed.
Who are you? What do you want? Who are you? Answer me.
Ask me who I was.
You can't be.
Yes. In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
But it cannot be so. You're dead.
You don't believe in me?
No, no, no. You're nothing but an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese.
You are wrong, Ebenezer. I am the ghost of Jacob Marley.
Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
No, no, I don't believe it.
It is then doomed to wander through the world.
You're chained, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I wore it of my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you?
I don't understand.
This chain I wear is as heavy as the one you are now forging.
You talk strangely, Jacob.
For 7 years, I have been dead, traveling the whole time.
7 years dead? And traveling all the time? You must have covered a lot of territory.
No rest. No peace, only remorse.
But you were always a good man of business.
Business. Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. But I heeded none of these. Instead, I thought only of money.
And what's wrong with making money?
That is your weakness, Ebenezer, as it was mine. That is why I am here tonight, part of the reason for my penance. I am here to warn you, to help you escape my fate. You have one chance left.
Tell me how this chance will come.
My time draws near. I must go. Tonight, you will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the chant you mentioned, Jacob? I think I'd rather not.
The first will appear when the bell strikes once. Expect the second at the stroke of two. And the third as the bell tolls three.
Couldn't they all come at once and have it over with?
No. And heed them well when they appear. Remember, it is your last chance to escape my miserable fate.
As Scrooge stares in frightened silence, the wraith-like figure of his deceased partner Marley recedes into space. Then, exhausted by the ordeal, Scrooge drops off to sleep. In the distance, a steeple clock is heard striking one. The curtains of Scrooge's bed are drawn aside, as if by an invisible hand. Suddenly, there stands by the bed a strange figure with white hair, holding a sprig of fresh green holly. Scrooge stares and then speaks.
Are you the ghost, the spirit whose coming was told me by Jacob Marley?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past, your past, Ebenezer. Rise and walk with me.
Where?
Out through the window.
What? But we're three stories above the ground. I'm only a mortal.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
What are we going to do?
I'm going to help redeem you. Come, walk with me out into the night, into the past.
The wind howls as the ghost and Scrooge walk off into the night. Scrooge is trembling with fright.
Tell me, ghost of Christmas past, where are we?
Look down, Ebenezer, and think back to your youth.
Why, of course. The river, the meadows, and that's the old school where I went as a lad. But there's no one about.
It's the Christmas holiday. Look into the study hall.
Empty. Except for a young boy sitting at a desk, his head in his hands left behind. He's crying. Poor chap. No place to go at Christmas. He's looking up now.
Do you recognize him?
Why? It's me.
Come, let us look back on another Christmas, a year later.
The wind howls again as they move ahead in time to take a closer look at the young Ebenezer Scrooge.
Why, there's the school again. And there's a boy pacing up and down in the schoolyard. I wonder who...
Do you recognize him?
Yes. I see it as myself as a boy. A coach is coming up the roadway. Now it's stopped, and a lad gets out. Look, he's hugging me. It's my brother, Peter.
Listen to what he says.
I've come to bring you home, dear brother Ebenezer. Father's not mean anymore, and he says you're never coming back here. And from now on, we'll always be together. Just think, we're together for the first time in 4 years.
Your brother was such a frail creature. Kind, soft-hearted.
So he was. So he was. He died so young.
And left a son.
Yes. Fred, my nephew.
He came to wish you a Merry Christmas yesterday.
Yes. Yes, he did. Please. Please take me back.
Not yet. There is one more spirit for you to see.
No more. Please. I do not wish to see it.
You must. Several years have passed. In the house below, there sits a young, beautiful girl.
It's Belle.
The girl you were to marry. And there you sit next to her, a young man in your prime. Only now your face begins to show the signs of avarice. There is a greedy, restless motion in your eyes. Listen to what she is saying to you.
It matters very little to you, Ebenezer. Another idol has displaced me, a golden one. You hold money more important than me, or anything else for that matter. And I'm going to grant you your wish, free you from marrying me. That's what you desire, Ebenezer. I feel sorry for you.
Spirit, show me no more.
Today, Belle is a happy woman surrounded by her fine children. Those children might have been yours if you hadn't been so selfish.
Take me back. I beg of you.
Scrooge had seen enough of the past and is pleased to be returned to the present or heard. The steeple clock strikes twice. And Scrooge finds himself back in his bedroom. Slowly, his door, though bolted, swings open.
Good morning, Ebenezer. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me.
You're practically a giant. Yet you have a young face.
Have you never seen the like of me before?
Never.
I have many brothers, over 1,800 of them, one for each Christmas since the very first.
A tremendous family to provide for.
Touch my robe, Ebenezer, and come forth with me. I trust you will profit by your journey. We have a little time, and there is a place we must visit. It's a very poor house in a very poor section of London. This one, directly below us.
Indeed it is. Who, may I ask, lives here?
An underpaid clerk named Bob Cratchit.
The Bob Cratchit that works for me?
The very same.
That woman. Those children.
His wife and family.
That's Cratchit coming up the stairs now. He's carrying a young boy.
His youngest child, Tiny Tim.
The child carries a crutch.
Because he is crippled.
But the doctors?
Cratchit cannot afford a doctor, not on 15 shillings a week.
But...
Shh, listen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And a most Merry Christmas.
Father, Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome.
And how did Tiny Tim behave at the church?
As good as gold, and better.
I was glad to be able to go to church. That's because I wanted the people to see I was a cripple.
Now, that's a peculiar thing to say, Tiny Tim.
No, it isn't. That's because I was in God's house, and it was God who made the blind able to see and the lame able to walk. And when the people at church saw me in my crutch, I was hoping that would make them think of what God can do, and they would say a prayer for me.
I'm certain they prayed for you.
And one of these days I'm going to get well. That'll mean I can throw away this crutch and run and play like the other boys.
You will, Tim, one of these days. Well now, Mother, the big question, when will dinner be ready?
Well, it's ready now, just about the finest goose you've ever seen. Martha, you carry it in. Tom, you fetch the potatoes and the turnips. And Dick, set the chairs around the table.
And I'll sit between Mother and Father.
This is going to be the best Christmas dinner anyone could hope for. I'm the luckiest man in the world, having such a wonderful family.
It isn't a very big goose, is it? I could eat the whole bird myself, I believe.
It's all Bob Cratchit can afford. His family doesn't complain. To them, that meager goose is a sumptuous banquet. But more important, much more important, Ebenezer.
Yes.
They are a happy and united group. Look at their shining faces. Listen to them.
What a superb dinner we've had. The tempting meat, the delicious dressing.
And the plum pudding, Father. Don't forget that.
That pudding was the greatest success achieved by Mrs. Cratchit since her marriage.
Well, thanks for the compliment. But I must confess, it was good.
And now for the crowning touch, the punch.
The punch. Good. Wonderful.
Here we are now. Get your glasses.
So the members of the Cratchit family clink glasses in a Christmas toast.
First to the founder of this feast, the man who has made it possible. I give you Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children. Remember, this is Christmas Day.
He's a hard, stingy, unfeeling man. You know he is, Robert. You know better than anyone.
My dear, remember, Christmas Day.
I'm sorry. Very well. I'll drink to his health. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas to him, to Mr. Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge.
Now then, a toast to us. A Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me, will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat in the chimney corner and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, no. Oh, no, kind spirit. Say that he will live, that he will be spared.
Why concern yourself with him? Isn't it better that he die and decrease the surplus population?
But these poor people must be helped.
Are there no prisons? And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
Do not taunt me.
Come, it is time for us to go.
I wish to remain.
I can remain no longer. Touch my robe and we shall go.
The wind begins to howl again, and Ebenezer Scrooge shortly finds himself standing outside his lodging. Heavy snow is falling, blanketing a sleeping London. There's a steeple bell. It is still early Christmas morning.
Ebenezer, Ebenezer Scrooge.
You are the third and the last?
I am the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not happened, but will happen in time before us. Is that so, Spirit?
Yes, Ebenezer.
I fear what I am to see.
But Scrooge's fear meant nothing to the ghost. And as the wind rose up, they ventured into the night once again.
Why do we stop here on this street corner, Spirit?
Those two men standing there, do you know them?
Why, yes, I do business with them.
Their conversation is interesting.
When did he die? Last night, I believe.
I thought he'd never die.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left it to his company, perhaps. Well, one thing is certain. He didn't leave it to charity.
Are you going to his funeral?
Not unless a free lunch is provided.
A very good point. Can't say that I blame you.
Spirit, this dead man they're discussing, who is he?
I will show you. Come into this room with me. There is a bed in front of you. On it lies a man. That is, the body of a man. The one those gentlemen on the street were talking about.
And no one's come to claim his body?
No one, for he left not a friend behind him. Come closer and look into his face.
No! I would if I could, but I haven't the power.
Then follow me, Ebenezer Scrooge, to yet another scene.
Look here, Joe. Here's our chance.
You're not going to take his things, are you?
Why not? He won't miss them. Not a dead man.
No, I suppose not.
Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did. Now open that bundle, Joe, and tell me the value of it.
What do you call this? Bed curtains?
Ah, bed curtains. Don't drop that oil upon the blankets now.
His blankets?
Who else's? He isn't likely to be cold without them, I dare say.
Oh, Spirit, let me see some tenderness connected with death. If I don't, that lonely body in the dark room will ever haunt me.
Yes, I know of such a home, one where there is tenderness connected with death. Over here, on the poor street, and in this dismal house.
But this house? Why, yes, I've been here before. Bob Cratchit, my clerk, lives here. There's Mrs. Cratchit and her oldest daughter, Martha.
Your eyes, Mother, you'll strain them working in this bad light.
I'll stop for a while. I wouldn't want to show red, tired eyes to your father when he comes home. It's time he was here.
Past it, rather. But these days, he walks slower than he used to, Mother.
I've known him to walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed. He was very light to carry, and your father loved him so it was no trouble. There's someone at the door, Martha. It must be your father.
I'll let him in. Hello, Father. You look tired.
You're late tonight, Robert.
Yes, I am late.
I'll get some tea for you.
Thank you, Martha.
You went to the grave today?
Yes, I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it was.
I'll see it soon.
I promised him I would walk there every Sunday. My poor Tiny Tim. At last he's rid of his crutch.
Yes, at last. Our poor Tiny Tim.
Scrooge turned from the Cratchit family with an anguished cry.
Tell me, Spirit, why did Tiny Tim have to die?
Come, there is still another place to visit. When you see the next place I am taking you, perhaps you will understand.
Is this a graveyard? Why did we stop here?
Look at the tombstone. Read the name on it.
Before I do, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be?
Read the inscription on the tombstone.
It reads, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, no, Spirit! No, no, hear me! I am not the man I was. I will not be like the man you've just shown me. I will honor Christmas.
Are you certain of this?
Oh, yes. I will try to keep it alive all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lesson that all three spirits have taught me.
We will soon see.
Tell me there's hope that I may rub away the writing on this stone. Oh, what am I holding on to? The bedpost. I'm in my own bed. Home. Those bells. It must be Christmas. I wonder if it really is.
Scrooge ran to the window, and as he did, the sound of church bells filled the room.
You, boy, down there.
Yes, did you call me, sir?
What day is it today, lad?
Today? Well, it's Christmas Day.
The spirits have done it all in one night.
What did you say, sir?
Do you know the poulterers on the next street?
I should say so.
An intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was in the window?
The one as big as me?
A delightful boy. Yes, the one big as you.
It's hanging there now.
Go and buy it. I'm in earnest. Here's the money. Catch. Deliver it to Bob Cratchit on Golden Street in Camden Town.
But, sir, there will be considerable change left over.
Ah, keep it, lad.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And don't let Mr. Cratchit know who sent the turkey. It's a surprise. And lad.
Yes, sir?
A very Merry Christmas to you.
This was just the first of many good things that Scrooge would do for people this Christmas Day. Filled with good cheer and blessed with a Christmas spirit, he set out to make up for all the years that he had neglected.
Who could that be at the door? Why, bless my soul, Uncle?
Yes, Yes, it is, Fred. You're Uncle Scrooge. I've come for Christmas dinner. Now, let me in. I have a present for your good wife. And from now on, I'm going to be one of your most persistent guests. I've changed, my boy. You'll see.
The next morning, Scrooge arrived at his office before his usual time to await Bob Cratchit's arrival.
He's late. The day after Christmas, Bob Cratchit's late for work. Ah, here he comes now. Well, now, Cratchit, what do you mean coming in so late this morning?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Scrooge. I beg your pardon, I'm sure. I know I'm a few minutes late.
18 and a half minutes, to be precise. Step this way, Cratchit, if you please. Now, I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer, and so I'm about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge!
A Merry Christmas, Bob! A merrier Christmas than I've given you in a long time. I'm going to raise your salary and do all I can to help you and your family, especially Tiny Tim. Now, make up the fire. Buy another scuttle of coal before you dot another I.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did everything he promised and infinitely more. He became a regular visitor to his nephew's home and even took Fred into business with him. He raised Bob Cratchit's salary to a figure that left the bewildered gentleman gasping. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He provided doctors for the little lad. Very soon, Tiny Tim will have his wish. He will be able to throw away his crutch and run and play like all the other boys. As for the three spirits, Ebenezer Scrooge never saw them again. That was due to the unchallengeable fact that Scrooge, for the rest of his days, helped keep alive the spirit of Christmas. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We hope you've enjoyed the 84 WHAS production of A Christmas Carol, brought to you by Taylor Drug Stores, American Greeting Cards, Fujifilm Products, and 84 WHAS. To listen to A Christmas Carol again, simply fast forward and turn the tape over.